I want to go against my rules. General rule is I do not like saying too shmoozim, especially if they're not related. However, what happened here is as follows. The Shiva has a very, very beautiful shmooze, which is very applicable and has a very nogei lemaisa, very inspirational. Except I usually don't like saying the Shiva shmooze because supposed to say your own shmoozing. So I happen to have my own shmooze on the same pasuk that the Shiva is going on, which I think is nice, but it's, I don't know exactly what the practical Mutzer Hasko is. It's just very insightful, but it's, so we figured we'll do both. We'll see, we'll try. Anyway, there's an Alshef. The Alshef goes on, that seems to have a problem that the entire first parak of the Megillas Esther is l'chaira not necessary. Because what do we care that Achashverosh made a party and all of how much of the food and the drinking and what date it was and who was invited, and then Vashti made a party and then that Vashti didn't come, and then he just say there was a king by the name of Achashverosh, his wife was dead. I don't, it makes no difference how she died. He needed a new queen. He went ahead and he married Esther. You can skip the whole, the whole first parak. It's not really directly related to the story seeming of Purim. That's his question. So he explains numerous reasons why it's extremely important, this introduction sets the whole tone. And one of the things he says is that this introduction makes us appreciate the Nes of Purim much more, because the whole idea, everyone says that Purim was a Nes Nister. Purim was Hashem's name is not mentioned once in the Megillah. There's nothing Shlabi Derech HaTeva. Everything follows the laws of nature. And therefore, there would have been a tendency for someone to think that, so this just happened. Achashverosh loved Esther. Esther went ahead and asked Achashverosh to kill Haman and to save the Jews, and he agreed. Why not? He loves his wife. So therefore, the Torah writes this whole introduction so that we should appreciate that there was really a tremendous nes here. That's what his introduction is. So he has a number of reasons why this introduction is so important. And Awazai, he says the seventh reason. He says as follows. Omar Reuna Magadla Gedulas Vashti Beine Amelach. The Torah wants us to appreciate how much Achashverosh Gadla, he appreciated Vashti. Kilule Batcha Bavasa, because if not for the fact that she would have had confidence that he loves her, Behavis Noshim, the love of a husband to a wife, and the godu chashivusa, and he had a tremendous respect for her. Though Orva Liba, she would never have thought Lasos Gami Kimoh to make like him Mishneh Noshem Katamela. But Oida the Beis Hamalchus. In other words, Achashverosh, this is his big day. He's showing off. He prepared this amazing suda. Probably took months and months of preparation, party. He's obviously a super Balgaiva. He wants to be the star of the show. What's his wife doing? Excuse me. Who do you think you are? I'm the star here. You're making another party right next door? So he says the reason why she was able to do that is because she knew that Achashverosh wouldn't mind. Because, me and you, we're one. You're not jealous of your wife. I love her. She can share the glory with me. I respect her. Right? Therefore, she didn't even have to ask Achashverosh. Just, she knows. Right? Just says, "Ki lule bazcha b'avoso," if not for the fact that she was convinced in his love, me'avis anosha, v'gavish, and that he had such respect for her, she would never have done such a thing to make a party like him, and especially right next door. In lo ki yada, if not that she knew, ki gavla malosa b'yakana melech. In lo ki yada, I'm sorry, I misread it. Ki lo malosa the fun of. He wouldn't tell her what to do. Now, it's clear in the Alshach that she was right. That's his whole point. He says, the Torah wants to tell us so we should appreciate how much Achashverosh loved Vashti, how much Achashverosh respected Vashti, that Vashti understood, and she correctly understood, that she doesn't even ask him. She can just make this party next door in the middle of his great moment, and he won't mind. This is because we're, you know, Ishto Kikufo, and we're sharing the spotlight together. It's wonderful. Well, then what happens? Bim goes, and nonetheless, and even though she was right, and Achashverosh had this tremendous love and respect for Vashti, the Hafik Ritzino, to satisfy his desire, Asher Tzavetz Oral Rucho, he got this desire. All of a sudden he got a desire to go ahead and ask Vashti to come. Siva Lafshita Aruma, he ordered her to come without Arum, naked. Vasiga Kiyomo Lanata, like the day she's born, without any clothes. Le'ene Aserim V'amin, in front of all the people. So what does that show? It shows that when there's, even though he loved her and he respected her, but when he has a desire, it goes all to the wind. So therefore, Eva Miza Yiftah Avos HaMelech as Esther. How could Esther think that the Hafek is a Shazamah, that she could, because Achashverosh loves her, he would change what he did. That caused him because of the Melech Shehein Hoshif. And it's in the Melech's covet, once he sent out the decree, it's a bizayin for him to take it back. Ki kava choymer advarim. It's a kava choymer. Im ruach toyim. If for some crazy mishugin of desire, sh'ala rucho, sh'loke nimes, which is not a proper desire, sh'loke roi, Bito alav eskova. So it went ahead and overpowered all the love that he had for Osa. So surely, how could he go against Nimes Machuso? That there's a rule, Kiksavish Nitav Eina Hoshev, Awavish Ishto. Okay. So it's a very fascinating Asha. In other words, we usually read the Megillah and we read the story of Vashti. And we think that Achashverosh probably hated Vashti, never liked her. Okay, she was a pretty woman, but as far as a person, he didn't like her. She was, they probably didn't have the best marriage. We think that maybe Achashverosh was drunk. He didn't know what he was doing. Okay, a guy is a drunk. Drunk people do crazy things, we know. Okay, so that we interpret. Either he didn't really like her, he hated her, he didn't mind getting her, or he was drunk. But the Alshav says, no, Achashverosh loves Vashti, and he respects Vashti, and he has a tremendous love and a tremendous respect, and we can learn how to kava chomer to Esther. Because Esther is no different. Esther is no different. Esther, same thing. Because that's it. He loved Vashti. And he had tremendous respect for her, Avoso and Godo Chashivuso. But what happened? It's not that he got drunk. It's he got a desire. He got a desire. So that's it. So everything goes. Anyway, I just thought that was a insightful. You have people in today. It's not just Achashverosh. Is not the only person in the world. You have a personality. They call it narcissism. People that seem to be only focused in themselves. So the way people usually interpret, their that, you know, a guy that, you know, I don't want to, we won't get political. Okay, well, leave out the president candidates, right? But the way that people usually interpret it is that he really doesn't care about anybody else except himself. The whole world revolves around me. Everyone else, everyone else is just a pawn that he's using for himself. That's how we usually interpret this personality. That's how I always interpret it. He doesn't really love anyone. He only loves himself. Other people are just, he has friends because they help him. He has a wife because she helps him. But in reality, he doesn't care about anyone. He doesn't respect anyone. Haraya, because when he has a desire for himself, he just stabs everyone in the back. So obviously he doesn't care about them. If he cared about them, he wouldn't be stabbing them in the back for some to make 5 cents. So the shot is, he never really cared about them. He really hates them. He doesn't like them. He's totally self-centered, and he only cares about himself. But when you see, the Alshach understands it differently. It's interesting. The Alshach understands that, no, he cares. He loves his wife. He loves these other people. He respects them. He has tremendous respect. It's not that he doesn't care about them. It's just when there's a stira between his love and his wife and his respect for his wife, and he has a desire, so then there's a stira, then that's it. Then nothing can stand in the way. It's like he can't control his desires. So nothing stands in the way of his desires. So he'll stab his best friend in the back, which he really is his best friend. And he really does love them, and he cares about them, and he respects them. But what can I do? I got a desire. I came in a crazy desire in my head. I want something. So you're in the way of what I want, so I have to kill you. In other words, it's not China, it's I don't care about you. And I want a piece of candy, and you're in the way, so I take out a gun and I shoot you. So you say, well, that means that, you know, there was you shot your best friend because he was blocking the road to the candy. So obviously it means that you don't care about him. You never cared. All your friendship was fake. That's what I would have thought. So the Alshach is insightful, is saying shot that that's not true. It's true. It's really, the guy was your best friend, and you really did love him, and you really respected him, and you cared about him, except there was a thing that what happened. He says, "L'hafik ritzayna asher l'od arucho," but I got this mishigas. I got a desire. I want a candy. I want my candy. I got this desire for a candy. I have this taiva for a candy. So nothing stands in my way for my desires. Okay. Anyway, I thought it was, I don't know what the nafkamina, so that's why I say, but I found it personally very interesting, because it's a new update in this certain personality, which regretfully you do meet people like that sometimes. Okay, I want to get to Rosh Yeshiva Shmuz. Shiva has a very nice shmuz as far as that's much nogeya d'maisa. The Gemara asks a kasha, let's just look at the Gemara. The Gemara asks a kasha, mikdei prusa havi. That the Gemara just got finished saying that Achashverosh asked her to come naked, same as the Alshach brought. So the Gemara asks, mikdei prusa havi. We know Vashti was a prusa. How do we know she was a prusa? The Amar Marsh named the Baravera in this Kamdar. In other words, it said before that Vashti made her mishteh in the Beis HaMalchus. So it means Beis HaMalchus means that she didn't do it in her own private chamber. She did it in a public area. She almost did it in Achashverosh area. So she did it in the men's section. So why did she make her party in the Beis HaMalchus? So the Gemara says, because she was a prutza. She wanted that the men who were coming to Achashverosh party will be able to see her in her party. So in other words, the normal thing is that Vashti really had her own quarters. She could have made her party in the women's section, but it says It says, "Gam v'ashem alka osam mishte noshim beis hamalchus asher ha-melech ha-chashverish." There's that Vashti made the party in the part which were for Melech HaChashverosh, which she made in the men's section. So why would she do that? Because she was a prutza. Because she wanted the people are coming to HaChashverosh party, they'll look at her and see her. So that's prutzas. Actually, a woman that wants men to look at her, so that's prutzas. So the Gemara says, "Kasha, mifte prutzu save." So since we know she's a prutza, Tamar Marsh name is Vaver and his Khamnu, that she was also Mechavin for Averis, that she wanted people to look at her. My time it was, so why didn't she come? So Amrav Yossi Bar Chanina, Melavi Shapurna Saras. So the Gemara says it was a miracle. She got Saras, or according to other Medrash, she got a Zonav. What that means exactly, not clear, but she got some blemish in her beauty, and therefore she refused to come. So Rashiva has a pretty Pasha Akasha that the Preaches that Vashti showed was not such amazing, tremendous preaches. She went ahead and she's making a party. She made the party instead of making it in a separate women's section. She made it near where the Achashverosh party is. So all the men, when they're walking into Achashverosh party, they can look in and see her party, and they can see her, and they can see appreciate her beauty because she wanted to show off her beauty. Okay, it's preaches, but it's not earth-shattering preaches. It's, you know, it's a woman walks down the street and she buys nice clothes and she wants people to notice how pretty she looks. She got her hair done and she's happy that everyone should notice how pretty she looks. Okay, preaches. What did Achashverosh ask her? Achashverosh asked her to come in basically without any clothes. Just to come in front of all the people, that's super preaches. That's over the top and over the top and over the top, 60 times over. So the Shiva asks the Kasha, what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara asks the Kasha, it doesn't make sense. Mikde Prisusa says she knows a Prutza. How do we know she was a Prutza? Because she named the Tarver and his Chandu, so why didn't she come? So why can't we give a very simple answer? She was a prutza up to here, but not up to here. There are levels. She was a little bit of a prutza, but not a big prutza. There's a very simple answer. She was a little bit of a prutza. She wasn't a perfectly sanua lady. She was a little bit of a prutza. But there are levels. So she didn't, the Medrash is mashmash, if she didn't make her party here, and we could have said she was not a prutza, then we would understand why she didn't come. But now that we know she's a prutza, then it doesn't make sense. Why? Because she has a little bit of prutzas, it doesn't make sense. If you say that doesn't make sense altogether because she should, no matter what, she should come because she's afraid for her life, whatever, okay? That would be a kasha. But the Gemara says the whole kasha is because she's a prutza. But she's only a prutza in a little teeny bit. So why does that make that it's mukhluk that she would come? So Rashiva said a very, 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 very yisayit, and it's very inspirational. He says that Shad is like this, that a person under has pressure. When a person has pressure, it's very hard to control yourself. Vashti has pressure. What's the pressure? She knows that if she goes against Achashverosh, Achashverosh will get upset with her. Doesn't mean she knew she was going to get killed, but she knows that Achashverosh will get upset. You don't want to get Achashverosh upset. So she has a pressure. Now, what do you need to withstand the pressure? Withstand the pressure, you need something to rely on. You need a backbone. So he said, she's like this, if you're a tzanua, then there are rules. There are guidelines. There's a Shulchan Aruch. There's Shulchan Aruch, or there's a Shulchan Aruch in proper, in a Madai, in also other Shulchan Aruch, how a person is proper behavior is supposed to behave. So, okay, so I follow the Shulchan Aruch. But the moment you have no Shulchan Aruch, so then it's up to you. You have to make up your own guidelines because there is no Shulchan Aruch. You don't keep the Shulchan Aruch. Well, okay, but I don't keep the Shulchan Aruch, but the next step I'll keep. But Mehechi Teisi, once you went ahead, it's like you know, a marshal in America. I'm really not familiar, but I think they passed some bill that they can't go below a certain amount in debt, the government. So what happens now when they're going to get to that amount in debt? So they pass a bill that they can go a little more in debt. Then a few years later, they get to that new level and they're stuck. So they pass another bill, we go no more in debt, right? Those in Israel, they have the same thing. There's the Yam HaMelech, or the Kinneret, that they get their water from, and they have a bill that they can't take too much water because it's not healthy for the oceans or the river, for the lakes if they go below a certain level. They made up some level, arbitrary, that lower than this is not healthy. Can't let the water go below this level. But what happened is a drought, and we need the water, and it's going lower than that level. So they passed the bill. Okay, it can go a little lower. A year later, there's another drought. Okay, passed another bill. Now, if there's no rule that's set in stone, then when you have pressure, you just change the rules. You have a person has his, you know, a person has his, what you call his red lines. The person has his red line, but his red lines are not, are artificial. I have my lines. I'll do this, but I won't do that. But mehechitesi, because I said so, because I made up the rule. I decided an arbitrary rule that this aveir I'll do. I'll do shomer negiya. Okay, I don't hold to that. That Aveira, I won't be, I'll be made go out. I don't hold to that Aveira. This Aveira, that Aveira I'm machmer on. But that's purely you made up. Because once you're ready to say that you're able to be Deiche the Aveira Shomer Negiya, so why can't you be Deiche the next Aveira? It's all arbitrary. So he says, once you go ahead, Vashti went ahead, there are certain rules. Even in her country, there were laws of proper behavior. Rashi went ahead and did not follow the rules of proper behavior. So she's making up the rules on her own. So even if in her brain she decided, I'm going to be this much preaches, I'm ready to be. More than that, I'm not ready to be. So the Rashi said that decision will never stand up under pressure. Because you know it has no basis. Why? The rule is over here. I made it up. Nobody made up that. There's no rule. It's just something that I decided to make up. I made up an arbitrary number that we can't owe more than $10 billion. Okay, so we'll change it to $20 billion. It's all arbitrary. I made it up anyway. So what the Rashi is basically saying, a very good thing is saying, if a person keeps halacha, if a person is medactic in little things, so then the keeping halacha and the little things will cause you that you don't break your rules. There are rules. There are gedarim. I don't break them because I keep halacha. Once you don't break them, it makes no difference how strong of a taiva. There's a wall there. It's not something that I made up. It's a halacha. I'm machshev halacha. Halacha I can't change. So what, it could be, it doesn't make a difference, you're afraid Achashverosh is going to kill you, doesn't make a difference. If you're not a prutza, so then isn't it? I can't do it. Maybe Achashverosh will kill me. It's against the rule. Because it's not my rule, it's a rule that I didn't make up. But the moment you're a prutza, so then any rule that exists is just that you made up the rule. So Yeshiva said that rule, something, if you made up the rule, you made up your own rules of moral. You decided what's moral and what's not moral. But you know that you made it up. So then when your morality that's made up by the individual will never stand under pressure. So Memeda, the Gemara has a valid kasha. Since she's a prutza, so she's not following any rules of morality. She's making up her own rules. Einochinami, it could be Vashi made up in her mind. This much I'll do and this much I'll never do. But once it's their own nine rule, then now it's under pressure, then it's not shayach. It's human. It's impossible that she would have been makbid to keep her rule.
Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you?